Welcome, everyone, to the Happy Hustle Podcast. I'm your host, Kerry Jack, lifestyle entrepreneur, professional model slash actor, biohacker, and eco-warrior striving to make a positive impact on this planet. My goal is to inspire, educate, and entertain you while reminding you to enjoy the journey, not just the destination, as you happy hustle for a life of passion and purpose. I am so grateful and humbled to be spending some time together today. Now, let's dive in. What is up, you beautiful happy hustlers out there? Kerry Jack here, and I hope you're having an amazing day. I mean, just enjoying this very moment right here and right now, baby. And in this episode of the Happy Hustle Podcast, we have on Mr. Mike Zeller, who is a business architect and entrepreneur mentor who helps professionals find their zone of genius and rewire their subconscious to fuel momentum toward their life's purpose. He has mentored over 300 high-level entrepreneurs from all over the world, helping add tens of millions in revenue to his clients. An entrepreneur himself, Mike has founded or partnered in over 20 ventures across multiple industries, including technology, real estate, digital marketing, and more, netting over $100 million in revenue with his different ventures. And we're going to talk about his new book, The Zone or The Genius Within, and how you can find your zone of genius in this episode, because this is what it's all about, identifying your strengths so then you can leverage them to create more income and more impact so you can happy hustle a life that you love, baby. So buckle up. This is going to be a doozy right after a quick episode sponsor break. Real quick, y'all, I just want to give a massive shout out to Magnesium Breakthrough, who's making the best magnesium on the market. This stuff is legit AF, let me tell you. If you want to get the hookup, you can go to magnesiumbreakthrough.com/hustle. Save yourself some moolah. And the best part is it comes with the money back guarantee. So you got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Check it out, magnesiumbreakthrough.com/hustle, and start optimizing that sleep today and reducing that cortisol level so you can happy hustle your dream reality. All right, let's get back to this episode. All right, Mr. Mike Zeller, welcome to the Happy Hustle Podcast, my brother. I'm super stoked to have you.
Dude, Kerry, great to connect again, my friend, and dive in.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a good one. I mean, we're going to talk all about just identifying your zone of genius and really determining what you're best at so you can leverage it to create a better impact in a better life for yourself. But before we get into all that good stuff, Mike, what's something interesting about yourself that not too many people know?
I was once a hand model, and I also performed in a Super Bowl commercial with Peyton Manning and Eli Manning for Tostitos back in the day. So those are kind of fun facts. I did a little modeling and acting. I never got speaking parts as an actor. I was not half the actor that you and your fiance are. But I could look a part or get my head shaved and look like a military dude or whatever. But that's pretty much what I was good at.
Hey, man, I don't hold a candle to my fiance's acting either. That's just I think one of the best things I did in terms of my entertainment career was improv at the Second City. I did 3.5 years there. Sweet. And improv is like one of those skills. It's just utilized in everyday life, and I think that's why I had whatever success I had and continued to. But yeah, super cool that you were in those commercials, man. And I also read that you grew up on a horse farm in Lexington, Kentucky. Is that right?
Correct. My mom loves horses to this day. I think she loved her horses almost as much as she loved her boys. But nice. Definitely spent almost as much time with them. And my dad raced and trained harness horses, and he was a like one of those award-winning jockeys in the thoroughbred side. But wow. he was world renowned. Had a world champion at one point as well that got unfortunately burned up in a barn fire. You know, crazy things happen. And I write about that in my second book that's not out yet. But yeah, it was Kentucky boy. You would not have guessed. Kentucky farm boy.
That's awesome, man. I love horses myself. We actually just got a new paint horse. But yeah, I was barebacking her last weekend, just, you know, breaking her in. But I do want to talk about your first book, and that's The Genius Within. I got it here, and I started diving into that and your framework. And it's so imperative that the happy hustlers just determine what is their zone of genius. And I know you do this at the highest level for, you know, big, high-level entrepreneurs and executives. But for the happy hustlers out there, walk us through how to identify your genius within.
Yeah, so one of my core fundamental beliefs is that we all have untapped genius. And doesn't mean we're a world, every single one of us is a world-renowned performer, this or that, but we all have an area or a lane that we are freaking a badass at in our respective worlds. But we also have those lanes that we suck. And being aware and being conscious of that is absolutely imperative. And when you look at everyone that truly has fulfillment, a deep sense of impact, and a sense of abundance, and it's created abundance through their business, through their career, through their endeavors, generally, they put themselves in the right position. And extraordinary results is preceded by people being in extraordinarily right positions. Like think of part of what gets me going is like thinking of dream teams in basketball or football. You know, it's not about having the most stars. Like a lot of teams and a lot of organizations, we just need to add another star. Well, they don't fit together. You got to have the right fit. And like same thing as a couple, you could have two attractive, good looking, smart, ambitious people that are both good human beings. But if there's not a chemistry, there's not complementary sparks, right? Opposites attract because opposites complement. And so when I've been mentoring entrepreneurs and leaders from the beginning, like if they're just getting started or they've got a, you know, 8-figure, 9-figure brand, which I was with a guy last week has a 9-figure company and then he wants to get to a 10-figure brand.
Wow.
And we worked on his zone of genius. And frankly, in about a half day, I had identified his roadblocks to him getting to a $1 billion company. And it was as clear as day for me. And more clear for him at the end of the day. But clues are scattered throughout our lives. The problem is no one until now has taught us how to organize, synthesize, and interpret the clues. So without shame and without inhibition, I can confidently say that at this point, I'm sure someone will make a better process, but I haven't seen anyone create a more complete process for unpacking someone's genius and helping you make smarter, wiser decisions about your own personal placement than I have.
I love that, man. And it's really one of those things. Once you hit your zone of genius, once you can identify it and then you can utilize it, that's when the real success and the growth and the impact take place. What's the first step? Because I know you have a process, and if people want to really, you know, dive deep into it, they got to pick up a copy of The Genius Within. But just give us some higher level, you know, 30,000 foot view of the process, starting with the first step.
First step is gather the clues. And here's the layers. There's four main quadrants you want to gather the clues in. First, your unique talents. Where are you freaking amazing? And also, where do you suck? And so I have people go through typically 5, even 6 different personality tests because they all measure something different. You know, when you do the wealth dynamics test, it shows you your natural pathway for building wealth. And it's for most entrepreneurs, it's their favorite test. And you get a 40-page report that also tells you, hey, you're a bit like Oprah Winfrey, or you're like Richard Branson or Warren Buffett or whoever. So the wealth dynamics, Colby Index, StrengthsFinder, Myers-Briggs, and Disc Profile. Bonus, you can do Enneagram or some of the other tests that are out there because they all measure something different. And they give you different perspectives. Next thing, doing a deep inventory of your defining life experiences. Like you're up in Montana. Man, you love nature, right? You ever go to Yellowstone and some other big national parks?
Oh, yeah. It's an hour away. So I tend to have to go there all the time when people come visit.
Yeah, tough life. Yeah. Well, Theodore Roosevelt, who preserved more national parks than any president in history, What he did is he battled, if we look at his defining life experiences, guess what? He battled asthma as a young boy. His father and others thought he was destined to be a weakling, like just weak and physically frail. And he was like, I'm not accepting that in my life. And he trained himself to overcome asthma, trained himself outside, just got stronger. He was lifting weights in the late 1800s. Who lifts weights back then, right? So he trained himself to get stronger and overcame that. Then he started writing about nature. He was the nature. Nature was his foe. Remember, it was aggravating his asthma. Well, he overcame it, and he made nature his friend. He started writing about it, like these journals and almanacs and different things. And then at age 22, he's married. His wife is having her first baby. And guess what? She passes away after giving birth. And then his mom dies 24 hours later. So in a span of 24 hours, his first child is born, and he loses the two most important women in his life up until that point. And he decides to go and retreat into the wilderness, hands off his infant to his aunt to take care of, because he's like, I don't know what to do with a baby daughter, and I'm in massive grief mode. And he runs off to the wilderness and hunts and grieves and lives in the wilderness, lives in South Dakota and North Dakota, probably ventured up into Montana as well. While he's there, he falls more deeply in love with nature, battles through the harsh elements of winter, all those things, and comes back to New York and eventually gets into politics, fights against corruption. Why does he fight against corruption? His dad fought against corruption as a kid, and he saw his dad stand for truth and justice and fairness for all. But also he saw his dad get oppressed and suffer from pressure and tension with a lot of corrupt politicians and businessmen. And his dad ultimately died of cancer from, he thinks, from all the stress fighting against corruption. So now he becomes police chief of New York, cleans that up, becomes governor of New York, cleans that up. Eventually, he's shoved into the vice president role by the Republicans because they're like, it's a safe role. He's a wildcat. We can't control him. He won't do any damage. Well, unfortunately, the president dies like within 2 months or so of him being in office, and now he serves two terms as president and creates anti-monopolies, breaks up the trust, Standard Oil, U.S. Steel, all these guys, and it takes on these massive organizations. Like Standard Oil in 1900 was almost as big as the U.S. GDP. Like wow. They were producing about $1 billion in GDP a year. The rest of the U.S. economy was about $1 billion. So Theodore takes these guys on and breaks them up. And that doesn't happen without those defining life experiences.
Mm. Yeah. And I mean, and that's where the happy hustlers have to think about for themselves and make a list, you know, write it all out, your defining life experiences. I do recommend going through those different profile tests. I started going through a couple of them, and there's a couple that are still on the list that I have to knock out. But it's so important, that self-awareness, right? As you say, to know thyself. You know, it's just one of those things that once you learn more and more about yourself, you can use your strengths and supplement your weaknesses. Just in terms of your strengths and your weaknesses, talk to us a little bit about what you're best at and where you are weak in.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and even why, you know, as I dive into that, one of the things, like, you started Happy Hustlers because of your life experiences and the journey, right? And then your genius is fleshed out through this process of creating life optimization and all the other things.
Blissful balance. Well, really, that's
blissful,
like,
balance.
That's the truth, man, though. And now that you even say it, like, I burnt out as an entrepreneur, and now my whole mission is to save other entrepreneurs from burning out, because it was just gut-wrenching. And when you can use your life experiences in your mission, that's when the real magic happens. So yeah, I love that you brought that up.
Yeah, it's funny, our messes become our message, our breakdowns become our breakthroughs, and part of our life purpose and mission, right? And even my big reason why I did The Genius Within is because, you know, I went through a season of loss where I had 55 employees. We were doing $30 million in revenue in 2017.
What was the business?
I had a socially minded car dealership. Plus, I had 35 employees in that. Then I had a real estate team with about 13 employees, a marketing agency with 13 employees, men's fashion line, office building, other things. Like I kind of had a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah, but, it sounds like it. All over, too.
Yeah. It wasn't necessarily complimentary for the most part, but I learned a lot, and things then eventually in 2017, 2018, things started unraveling a little bit. And I realized I didn't have the right operating partners in some of my businesses, and I wasn't a great operating partner. It was not my genius. I was a genius at starting things, not finishing things, not managing things, not the more detailed and complex, the more the harder it got for me to really flourish. So you know, for the happy hustlers, like, I want you to take, if you trace back your life experiences, combine them with your unique talents. Like, I'm a badass at starting things. I'm a badass at architecting ideation, architecting a process for entrepreneurs to step into their deepest area of genius. And I'm terrific at brand development for a company. And that's what I love doing. But I don't want to handle the legal. I don't want to handle the financial. I don't want to handle most of the operational. I can do the sales side, some of the marketing side, but I'm also pretty badass at recruiting, developing, and dream team. I love that. I love that. People buy into my vision, typically, but I don't need to be running the day to day. But if you learn this stuff and then tap it into the third part, which is your key relationships, the people that bring you life versus death. I was literally just on a call with another entrepreneur, and his company is doing phenomenal. His company is growing like crazy, hiring right and left, but he's burned out and he's suffering from a lack of joy. And he has almost no time with people in his life that bring him joy. And so one of the activities that we did is like life and death activity and inventory. We identified, hey, who are the five people that bring you joy the most? And then what are the activities and things like that? And so over the next week, weekly, what are some things that he can schedule in that will bring him joy? Monthly, quarterly, all those things. You want to look at that. And then look at your values and passions, which is the fourth thing. What do you stand for? What do you stand against? If you're deeply aligned with a passion, or if your why is strong enough, you can overcome almost any how, right? And so that's what you do. You take an inventory of all that, and the overlap of those four areas: unique talents, defining life experiences, key relationships, and your values and passions unpacks your genius.
That's fuego, my man. I like it. It's just getting like to that nucleus of all those four different areas. And then once you have that, what do you do? What's the next step, Mike?
Yeah, so one of the guys I took through, and I'm still working with, he's a good friend and longtime friend, but he became a client last year. His name's David, and he's a filmmaker. And he has one of the largest film studios in the Southeast, and they work with companies like Amazon and Goldman Sachs and all these other guys making, you know, their commercials. And they've also done some award-winning documentaries and those type of things. But David, when we sat down and worked together, first session, in this very room I'm recording this podcast in, he said he had indicated he was depressed. He was overwhelmed. And I was like, and he just was not happy in his life. And within a few hours, I said to him, I turned to him, I was like, David, here's my guess. Based on your patterns, based on your genius, based on how out of flow and how out of joy you are, my guess is you're ready to burn this business down, aren't you? You're looking for a way out. He's like, Mike, how'd you guess that? He's like, I haven't told anyone that. And as we unpacked it, it was because he was playing out of position. And when you're out of position, you can't step into flow state. When you're in your playing from your strengths, so many of us have heard of this psychological concept called flow. Well, you're twice as likely to step into flow state when you're operating from your strengths. And when you're in flow, work becomes play, and you're 500% more productive in flow state. So how can you step more into flow state? And so we started unpacking it, and we did a whole, we looked at his schedule, looked at his week. and is filled with a lot of operational meetings, which were not his genius. He was looped into way too much stuff, and he had no white space to create, to think, to do the things that he loved, the things that bring him life. And guess what? He doesn't need to tear his business down, and he doesn't need to escape it. He just needed to reposition his role into it because he bought into, oh, I'm the CEO, so I'm supposed to do all these things and be involved in all these meetings. No, every CEO role looks different. Steve Jobs would work 2 or 3 hours a day with Joni Ive on products and design. He wasn't, and he let Tim Cook, you know, crush the operations. So, you know, what's your genius is my question. It's like, what brings you life? That's always a clue. The body doesn't lie. What brings you life is a clue for your genius.
I love that you said, you know, are you playing in position, right? Mm-hmm. That's a really great analogy, especially for all the happy hustlers who've played a sport. You know, when you're in your position that is serving the team at the greatest capacity, you thrive, the team thrives. But when you're out of position, like for me, I play soccer. If I was to play forward, I'm not that great of a forward, but I'm a hell of a defender because I just lay the hammer back there, you know? And it's like when I play forward, my team suffers. We're not scoring as much, you know? But when I play defense, they ain't scoring as much, you know? So that's like, it's a really great analogy. Are you in position right now? Think about it for yourself. Now, Mike, I do want to mention like where people can actually go to get the book and you know, who you think it's for, like who you wrote it for and mention the link where people can go.
Yeah. And one other thing I should mention, is I mentioned the link. The link, you can go to geniuswithinbooks.com, get it for free there or on Amazon. If you go to geniuswithinbook.com, just pay shipping and handling and we'll send you a free copy. So, awesome. But Amazon, it's $14, so not terribly expensive. But the other thing I want to mention, though, is one of the crazy stats, one of the crazy studies, I should say, 1968. Now, would you ever think little kids are smarter than NASA astronauts, like 4 and 5 year olds? Well, guess what? In 1968, they did this study and found that 4 and 5 year olds, 98% of them, scored at the genius level of creativity. But then, as they got adults, as they became like teenagers, it's down to like 12%. By the time they're full-fledged adults, 2%. So what happened? How did their genius level of creativity get snuffed out? In fact, I'm reading this other book called Hidden Habits of Genius by this Yale professor. And it's going through, he's a professor of music and he's studying like Beethoven and Mozart and Shakespeare and others. And he's like, one of the crazy things for genius is the true geniuses of the world, they have a childlike wonder and childlike curiosity. You know, Elon Musk helped co-found a school for, like really invested in and helped drive a school for his children, actually, in I learned about it yesterday in another call. I'm going to see if I'll share it here in a sec. But as I learned about this school, you know what they do? They don't give the kids a curriculum. They don't give them like, oh, you got to study all these tests. What they do is they actually give the kids problems to solve. It's called synthesis. It's the school for kids. And it's an online school. So kids from all over the world. It's only $180 a month. Wow. And what they do is they give the kids a problem to solve, let their curiosity spur them, put them in groups of three, and just let them go to town and let them drive their own growth, their own learning, their own discovery, because curiosity is a precursor for genius. And if you notice, one of the clues for your own genius, your own talent, is that you're insatiably curious about something. That's why I say values and passions. So I'm curious, Carrie, what about you? What are you insatiably curious about yourself? Like I've been obsessed about human performance for a while. I didn't really recognize it as part of my genius and when I was 20, but I know it now, right?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it really is that childlike wonder, like what really lights you up. You know, that's what we need to get back to oftentimes. The insatiable curiosity, you know, for me, I really was deep down the health and performance rabbit hole as well in my biohacking days, and I really enjoyed that. But I think one thing that really I love is sales and like the art of the deal. You know, it's just like what makes people buy, not buy, what makes people take action, the human psychology behind it. Like I just, that stuff lights me up because I really do believe that if you know how to sell, you can achieve anything in this life. You know, sell yourself, sell your business, sell your, you know, partner on marrying them, the whole shebang. Like it's all a sale, you know? So that's one of the things I'm really curious about. But yeah.
I love that. And so as you think about that, you know, I want you to think about sales. So, like, are you going to write a sales book? Are you creating a persuasion? Oh, look at that. All right.
Yeah, I'm ready in the process. I was working on it this morning, all about pressure-free persuasion, as Rory, our mutual friend, Baden, talks about.
Love that. Pressure-free persuasion. That's needed. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. So there's clues for all of us. It's just a matter of tapping into that curiosity. Stoke your curiosity. Feed what you want to live, starve what you want to die. So stoke and feed the flames of your curiosity. And if you're not curious about something, then it's like, I took one computer science class. It's the only class I've ever had to audit and retake just to pass. Like I was curious about it. And then once I got in it, I was like, this is not what I think. But then
in financial accounting. I hear you, man. Well, this has been amazing. I do want to put you through a couple more questions in terms of the more traditional, like I call these happy hustle hacks. And we talk about a couple different disciplines, first being health, because I know in order to achieve any form of success, you need to have your health on point in order to be a genius and really optimize, you know, your life. You need to make sure that your health is there. What would you say is a tip, a tool, a tactic, something that we could deem a happy hustle hack in regards to health for the happy hustlers?
So think of your life as rhythms and your energy cycles as rhythms. So a happy hustler health hack is energy. Energy management is more important than time management. So think of we're both into sports. You know, you see Ohio State go up against Michigan in a football game, college football game, big rivalry, big game. Then the next week they lose to like Appalachia State. You're like, how the freak did you play so bad the next week? Well, because their energy was so high and then came down so low because they didn't, typically they don't renew their emotional, mental energy enough. Mm. And we do it as entrepreneurs and leaders, as husbands, as wives, as moms, as dads. Prioritizing your renewal. You can't get in a flow state if you're running on fumes, if you got just nothing in the tank. Yep. So the renewal side is just as important as the exertion side because we are human beings, not human doings. And the Russians in the 1950s revolutionized athletic training by really emphasizing the renewal. That was a massive – that it was oscillating, meaning it's rotating. It's like exertion, renewal, exertion, renewal. Exertion, renewal. So what do you need to do to get your renewal? Most Americans, Western Americans, we don't have a whole lot of issue with exertion. We're pretty freaking good at that. We're overly good at that.
Yeah.
But doing things like your retreats. You know, you have these beautiful, epic mastermind retreats, right? We have our Make Your Message Matter event coming up where you get renewed and inspired by people that are doing bigger things, that are working on developing and impacting the world with their message. So prioritizing your inspiration, your renewal, and like the co-founder of the cyber blockchain investment fund that I'm mentoring, I'm working with his executive team as well. And we, as we were wrapping up our call today, right before we hopped on the podcast, I was like, hey, what are you going to do physically, mentally, and emotionally to renew? So just whether it's float tanks, IV drips, workouts, hikes in nature, adventure trips, people, cocktails, cooking dinner, Like I made air fried fried chicken on Saturday night.
Nice.
Absolutely delicious and super
Sounds
healthy.
good.
And yeah, it was like KFC without all the unhealthy stuff. And
Nice.
Man, that was fun for me. But because it was that's what I like to do on a weekend is cook a new meal I haven't tried. So
Super cool, man. I love that. Exertion and renewal. And I do totally agree, especially in, you know, the United States. We're big on exertion, especially type A driven happy hustlers out there, but not so much renewal. So here's your reminder, fam. Get out there and renew yourself. Now, I do want to talk about money because I think money is a really important topic. What is a happy hustle hack? Maybe a tip, a tool, a tactic, something that you use to save or invest or spend wisely that you can share with the happy hustlers?
Good question. From the money side, I think if you leverage your genius more and more effectively, so that's the earning side, and then you can put that, you want to make obviously investment automatic as much as possible, but invest in stuff that you know or that you're curious about, like you really are truly curious about. Like, you know, I invest in cryptocurrency because I want to learn more about it. I know some, and I understand the rhythms and patterns of even investment cycles because they also follow a pattern generally. Doesn't mean I'm going to time the market perfectly, but leverage your genius so that you get that $1,000 or $10,000 an hour activity. You know, that's what I average is over $1,000 an hour for most of my stuff. And now I can leverage that into parlaying into things that I'm curious about and also leverage my talent from the investment side to get equity slices in different ventures. So that, you know, as of today, you know, I have multiple equity slices in multiple companies, three different companies, soon to be four, maybe five by the end of the spring. And some of those companies, as they grow and expand, I'm doing my genius in my, I'm leveraging my genius to get equity slices in different ventures. And I'm leveraging the genius of others as the brand or business grows too.
Yeah, such a great point. I mean, and it really does come down to leverage, right? Leveraging your time most effective, making sure you're doing high value tasks, and also leveraging your zone of genius so that maybe you don't have to put up front capital. You can leverage your time and your expertise instead of, you know, putting in dollars. To get equity, that's a really great point. I like that. Just in terms of spirituality, I like to ask as well, a happy hustle hack in this realm, something that you use to connect with the higher power, you know, doesn't necessarily, like I believe in God, a higher power to whatever the happy hustlers are listening. It doesn't matter to me what you believe in per se, but as long as you believe. Do you have a happy hustle hack in this realm that you can share?
Yeah, I mean, faith is certainly central to me in my identity and my path. I mean, God has played a huge role in helping me navigate my blunders and my foolishness as well. But happy hustle hack, I think there's divine downloads, and we want to be on the hunt for a divine download and find that underground river of the world's great problems that we can help solve. So personally, for me, every morning, I do some sort of prayer, some gratitude. I have a gratitude journal. I write out 10 things I'm grateful for every day.
Me too.
I'm not naturally grateful. I'm not. I'm like, I don't have this. I don't have that. I'm not as far along. I'm a normal achiever where I'm not
yeah, comparing and despairing.
Yeah. And so I really, man, it's something I have to discipline myself with. But then I'll visualize what I want to experience, and I'll feel it. I'll imagine it. I'll dance with it. I'll enjoy it. You know, I do the morning affirmations as well. But I'll also be asking myself and reminding myself, one of my affirmations that I have on a post-it note in the mirror is that I have the divine mind within me. So I remind myself, tap into that divine mind. Don't do it out of ego. Don't do it, you know, think through, how can I serve? How can I impact? How can I be tapped into the divine mind? And then saturating myself with positive, enriching words and stories and music, even. Music changes your energetic rhythm. It changes your vibration. So am I listening to high vibrational music as well? Mm-hmm. And then spiritually, our lives are more alive. We feel more alive as human beings when we serve. So what am I doing to get out there and serve? Serve and love. Yep. Use your gifts to serve and love. So not out of ego, not out of pride. So I love to. And then the last thing I do is play. I'm not. I would rate my play skills at like a level 3. You're more playful than I am. but I got to.
We're gonna get your play up.
That's right. It reminds me. I got to go back and start doing some improv again. But playing with my daughter is fun for me. My wife is very playful, and that's part of the reason we're a good compliment, because I kind of balance her out her play so she actually gets stuff done.
Yeah.
And then she makes me play and enjoy life more. But
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, those are great. I love that you said the divine downloads, because, you know, we all have them, but most of us just disregard them or don't listen. And I just, for me, when you said that, I was like, I've had this vision and this divine download to write, direct, and star in my own feature film series. And I've been working on this script, and I've been like, I'm going to pull a Rocky and make it happen. But this script is really destined to entertain and inspire and make a positive impact, not just like, you know, try to sell box office seats, but like actual make a shift in consciousness to help protect our planet. And so that was like a download that I didn't just make that up. That was like something that came to me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you mentioned play, and I love that. I think that's so important. And then gratitude. You got to have an attitude of gratitude. So this is just, you know, all really important parts of faith and just becoming the best version of yourself, as well as service. You know, I recently just joined the Rotary Club, or I'm in the process, but I went through their initiation phase, and now I'm going to the meeting this week. But I've done a whole bunch of service organizations, but it's just one of those things. The secret to living is giving. As Tony Robbins, your friend, says, you know, Tony, you've studied with them for 1,000+ hours. I know you said.
Yeah.
So it's just super important. The secret to living is giving. Mike, I do want to put you through the rapid fire round real quick, and we're going to wrap this interview up. This is just where I ask you random things and you answer honestly. First thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
I am ready. Let's go.
Favorite food. Go.
What came to mind was pizza, pepperoni pizza, but probably ribeye steak is right up there too.
Yeah. Favorite movie?
Braveheart. Freedom. Favorite,
I love it. Favorite book?
4-Hour Work Week, probably.
Nice. Favorite workout?
Kettlebell swings was what came to mind.
Nice. What is your spirit animal?
Tiger.
Ooh, there you go. Best business advice?
To know thyself is the beginning of all wisdom.
Mm. 3 things you're most grateful for.
My wife, my baby, and the God-given opportunities before me are just insane. And so I'm so grateful for them.
Mm, love that. And if you had one piece of content for the world to see on a billboard, and this was your last piece of content, what's that billboard read?
The world desperately needs your greatness. So find the lanes of your greatness, release the deadly pestilence of small-itis, and step up and claim your highest and best self, because someone needs your highest and best self.
That billboard is going to cause some accidents because they're going to pull over to read it. But I love it. It's a great.
My nickname was Socrates in college for a reason.
Wise grasshopper. I like it, man. And I just want to take a moment to acknowledge you, brother, just for taking the time and sharing your love, your light, your wisdom with us and the Happy Hustlers, and just how you show up in the world, man. It's been a joy to get to know you better, and looking forward to future collabs. So thank you again.
Likewise, brother. Back at you, and honored as well. And thanks for having me on the show, Happy Hustler Nation. Excited to connect with you guys and reach out as you tap into your genius. And I would love to learn and hear from your stories as you guys learn about your genius.
Mm. Amen to that. Now, final question. What does happy hustling mean to you, Mike?
Man, it means dancing and playing in rhythm with giving your life your all, your career, your path, your genius, your all. So the hustling part is giving it your all, going for it, swinging big, swinging wisely, but swinging big, and then doing it with joy. Life's too short to do life without joy and happiness and without those that bring us joy. So we get to choose people that bring us life versus death. So choose those that bring you life and let go of the ones that bring you death.
Mic drop. Mike Zeller, everyone. Thanks for watching and listening. We are out. Peace and love. And one more thing, guys. I just want to give a big shout out to my book, The Happy Hustle, 10 Alignments to Avoid Burnout and Achieve Blissful Balance. This is still being offered for free. Yes, free 99. All you got to do is just help out with shipping and handling. You can go to thehappyhustlebook.com and you can get your copy for free. So check it out. I really think you're going to dig it because chapter number 10 is nature connection, all about just connecting with nature. And we share with you some proven and tested strategies just to happy hustle your dream reality throughout. But specifically, alignment number 10, nature connection, based on this episode, you're going to want to read. So thehappyhustlebook.com is the place. Now get out there and make the most of your time and happy hustle that dream reality. Peace, y'all. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Happy Hustle Podcast. I truly am so grateful that you took the time out of your busy day to spend time with me. Now, if you got any value from this episode or any episodes in the past, it would mean the world to me if you could please leave a 5-star review and share this episode with your friends so we can continue to spread this message. Guys, as always, it's been a blast. Now go out there and happy hustle for your dream reality.